CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal Podcast, home of all things hard rock and heavy metal. I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. Now, let's get things started with the Talking Metal theme song, written by Rob Halford, Metal Mike, and Roy Z. Welcome to another edition of Talking Metal. This time we are coming to you from Montreal, Canada, where I'm currently attending Heavy Montreal. So many great bands, diverse bands, and I am here with Mitch LaFon, and today Mitch and I are going to interview Corey from Trivium. Hey Mitch, how are you?
Good, and welcome to my hometown.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Nice. I mean, you brought me up here, or suggested I come up here, way back in 2014.
Correct.
And I came up for just one day, and that was Twisted Sister, remember, played?
Yeah, that was great.
That was outstanding. Slayer.
Same festival as Metallica, and so there was like 45,000 crazies out there, and that Twisted Sister show, they flew in from Belgium. Right. Got here at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Took a nap, and then we're on stage by like 7. So they got like 2.5 hours sleep.
Yeah.
So what a day it was for them.
And then we were back. I was back the next year. I'm trying to think. That was Faith No More, Testament, Iggy Pop. Who else was on that 2015 one? I'm trying.
Marky Ramone.
Yes.
Of Marky course, Ramone. The one and only
Venom Inc.
Fozzy was there.
Yeah, Fozzy were great. They played at like 12 noon or something, yeah.
We also had Warrant that year.
Yes, Warrant, that's correct. Yeah, Venom Inc., I mentioned they were there that year.
Was Venom Inc. that year?
Yes.
Okay,
yep,
yeah.
Yep. And yeah, what? Always
and
such
of course, Metallica, like we said.
Well, yeah, that was the year before. That was 2014. I was talking
about. Oh, right. Sorry. Right.
2015. But, anyways, I'm back 2018, so happy to be here. And we're going to have a ton of great interviews coming your way, all recorded here in person at Heavy Montreal. Mitch, let's talk about your show. You are on the Westwood One radio network or podcasting network.
Podcast network.
And Chris Jericho, that you're still under his umbrella of shows?
Right. So like the way I always explain it, it's a little bit like Howard Stern and Sirius XM.
Right, gotcha.
So he's got Channel 100 and 101, blah, 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 the Howard.
Right.
So Westwood One has a little branch that is dedicated to Chris Jericho and the Jericho Network show. So you've got a few wrestling shows, you've got a few rock shows, you've got Talk is Jericho, which everybody loves.
Right, yeah.
And then, of course, I'm in there too. So I'm sort of the Bubba the Love Sponge of
okay.
Gotcha. Of the Jericho Network.
Good analogy for us Stern fans, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. And the show is Rock Talk with Mitch LaFon. It's available on iTunes and all of your normal podcasting
outlets. And for some reason, I liked saying Amazon Alexa because that's like the weird one for me. I go, oh, I'm on Amazon Alexa.
Really? Well, yeah. So you can get podcasts through Amazon Alexa.
Yeah.
I don't even
know. So you essentially can walk into your living room and say, Mitch LaFon, and I'll appear.
Right. Okay. Very cool.
Which is weird to me, but I like it.
Well, I tell you what, let's get into some music right now by Trivium. This is the title track off their most recent record, The Sin and the Sentence. And this will be followed by Mitch and myself interviewing Corey from Trivium at Heavy Montreal.
Passing bells calling out my name. I knew I'd never see another day. I couldn't swim against the tides of blame. I knew there was no other way. You better practice your lines. You better practice your words. I often feel monsters die between the light and the shade.
You're the sentence. Check, check, check.
Last weekend.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Mark Striegel of Talking Metal, and I'm here with Mitch LaFon of the Westwood One Radio Network. And we are here at Heavy Montreal, and we are joined by Corey from Trivium. You guys are going to be hitting the stage today at Heavy Montreal. Have you played Heavy Montreal before, Corey?
We have. I'm trying to remember the year. Someone else asked me that earlier. But, yeah, we played back, I think the one time we did play, they still had Heavy TO in Toronto same weekend, because we hit both of them. And then we were supposed to play it a couple years ago, but we had to cancel a bunch of shows for we had some scheduling issues, or I can't remember.
Or drummer rehearsals.
No, this was... I think we got booked to play it like a one-off, and then there was just some scheduling with transportation, getting up here and gear, and it was just too much of a clusterfuck, so we had to cancel. But it's fun. We're looking forward to playing this festival, since we had to cancel last time. And since this new record came out, all our Canadian shows on the last tour sold out, and some of our biggest shows we've had in Canada, so people seem to be stoked and excited. So the Montreal show we had on the last tour was pretty wild, so I'm sure everyone's gonna step it up today.
Yeah, so if you can, talk to me about the importance of festivals, because you have this, you have Wacken, you have, of course, Hellfest. That seems to be the norm, especially in Europe. What does it mean for a band like Trivium to have access to crowds of 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 people?
It's important. We've done the festival circuit has been, especially in Europe and now in America, since there's so many destination weekend festivals now, it's been an important part of our growth throughout the years. And, we can attest to, having that one festival slot that just has you just have that magic moment, can one show can kind of change the trajectory of your band, especially when we did Download in 05, playing at 11:30 or something on the main stage, first band of the day. And, that record, our next tour after that was completely sold out. The record, went gold in the UK, basically off of, playing in front of that many people at one time and just people just connecting with it. So we've had that, playing Wacken for the first time, Made in Waves, our highest selling record in Germany. So, it's even though if you're playing for 30, 40, 50 minutes, it's kind of you're mixtaped, hey, want to check out this band? I made your greatest hits to show you what the band's all about. And then hopefully, we play this, and then the next time we come back, we have some, Canadian shows in the on our fall tour, but they're all kind of west central, Calgary, Edmonton kind of area. We don't have a Montreal or Toronto headlining show on that tour, but hopefully, people see us at this show will kind of make going to see Trivium on a headlining tour in the future a priority. So it's a great way to kind of show people what you're all about and excite people, and then them wanting to see a longer show and your show full on, instead of the little sample
hits,
a little sample size. So we've been getting that a lot, from playing Rock in the Range or Carolina Rebellion. We'll play some show in in the region of that, and they'll be like, yeah, I saw you at Carolina Rebellion, and you're just like, yeah, it's the festivals do help, and definitely brings fans can come out to this and see a lot of different bands, and hopefully we'll see a band they've never heard of and kind of become a fan. And there's a bee right around us.
Corey, you guys tend to put out records every other year, every year at some point. You guys are always putting out new music, unlike a lot of bands that put out new music every 5-6 years. Why so much new music? Is it just the creativity? Is it that you feel you owe it to the fans? Why are you different than most bands who tend to not put out so much new music?
It's just kind of, we're always writing stuff, and it's great. Our band, three of us all write. So, the burden of writing a record. So the burden of writing a whole album is not falling on one person to kind of carry the load. So when you have a record, you know, of like 12 songs and there's three people writing, it's like you really don't have, you can, everyone can focus on bringing the best possible stuff instead of quality or quantity. It's, you know, even if one person writes one song, it's like it could be like the best song on the album, like if you just kind of like, you know, focus in on it. So we're always writing, and the great thing about it is like, you know, the best stuff, we just get into a room and just kind of like, you might not have anything, and we just start screwing around, and the next thing you know, it's like, you're like, whoa, this is, we gotta go work on this, you know, something really cool could happen. It's all about that kind of garage band kind of just getting into a room and just sweating it out and just kind of bouncing ideas off the wall. And we like to write new stuff, and we're always kind of thinking concepts and kind of where we want to take a record in a certain direction, and that gets you excited to kind of try some different things than maybe you didn't do on the previous album. And so it's always fun to kind of like see where you can take the music. And it's, you know, I guess it's like you're in a band and whatever, and it's like you only live once, so it's might as well, right. You know, Lemmy, he put out more records than anybody.
I love it. I mean, that's when I was a kid, bands put out records every 2 years. And I think it's important. I think some of these younger bands, they wait too long to, you know, in between albums. And I think that can hurt the momentum.
Yeah, you know, now it's kind of like we've kind of seen like, because we've always been, obviously you said like, it's like every like 2 years. Like, I think like we've been in the same kind of cycle, because it's like, I think I looked it up one day and it was like, out of 8 records, 5 of them have like come out in like October.
Yeah.
So it's like, man, we're pretty consistent. you know, we're kind of seeing how like, you know, everyone kind of shifting more towards streaming and like all the playlists and kind of like more, I guess it's kind of like being more focused on kind of like a singles kind of thing, where it's like, if you have like a single on a playlist that could, you know, obviously like get like viral or something. So we're kind of looking into like maybe like trying to like mix it up from the an album every 2 years by maybe kind of doing something a little different, but still kind of focusing on you know, trying to get some new material out sooner than later, but maybe not in the traditional album sense. But we're kind of like still kind of waiting and seeing. But we're definitely looking forward to doing something with getting some new content out to the fans. It's, you know, in the near future.
Right on.
Yeah, we love great content. Bands like Metallica and Guns N' Roses play stadiums to themselves and have had an incredible amount of success and have done exceptionally well for the metal scene and the hard rock scene. What does it take for a band like Trivium to get to that next level? And in this day and age, the way the market is it even possible to get to that next level? Or is this sort of the best where we're at right now?
It's harder to, I guess, kind of gauge that, since those bands kind of, you know, came from the era where records sold like shitloads, and there wasn't as many bands in the scene overall, and like seemed like back in the 80s, early 90s, like most hard rock bands, if you were like a platinum selling band, you were playing arenas and stuff like that. So and obviously not everyone has, you know, that one moment in time where you write an Appetite or Black Album type of record that 30 years after it's released
but
still sells.
But does it come down to just songs, or is it about a marketing plan? What sort of that secret sauce, if you want?
It mostly just comes down to, you know, you could spend a shitload of money trying to force feed people a bullshit song, and it's like still doesn't catch on. You know, I've seen it even now where bands on active rock charts in America, like they have their in, or have the person working it that just knows everybody, and they'll have like a number one song, and like they'll have a number one or like multiple number ones on a record, and then we fight tooth and nail and barely get, you know, like we have to like, you know, do everything possible to get to convince people to play our song. And that band who has a number one, we've sold like, you know, 3 times as many albums as them, and it's just like, well, it all comes down to the fans connecting with the songs and the music and the authenticity of it and stuff. And if you just write like a cookie cutter, you know, whatever song, it's like not, you know, guaranteed to connect with people. So it's quality of the song. And also, you know, sometimes you need a little bit of luck of just like the atmosphere and the music scene. You could just kind of hit at the right time, or, you know, you always seen bands like, oh, they were ahead of their time and weren't appreciated till years later. It's like, you know, you kind of need a little bit of luck with just kind of hitting at the right moment with the right sound. And then obviously if you have a good product, the label, you know, has something to work with. So it's like they can, you know, spend the money wisely, and it will, hopefully that marketing plan will be, you know, worth the money because they have something worth selling.
Right. Well, and Sin and Sentence is a great album. So that's money to be spent on that.
Yeah, and I think it's just, you know, for us, this record has been mostly kind of just going out and playing live, people seeing the show, and also just word of mouth and just kind of letting the music do the talking with putting it out online, and just people have been reacting really well to it. And it's really kind of put us in a really good spot because there's been a lot of fans coming out to the shows who've been like, I haven't seen you for like 8 years or 5 years. So it's kind of like opened us up to a lot of new fans, but also it's kind of gotten like fans that, like, you know, everyone kind of has that point in time where you kind of like were into a band when you were like in the teenager and stuff, and then once you kind of had to be a grown-up, you know, you kind of maybe like, you know, stop following them, or like, you know, kind of other things kind of distract you from what's, you know, your music stuff. So there's been it's been really cool to see people excited coming back out and kind of getting re-energized about the band. So it's really set us up for the next record to, you know, really kind of hopefully there'll be, you know, people will be really excited about the next one, and then, you know, the touring will get even bigger. So it's been this whole album's been a very big jump from the previous
ones. Yeah. So I'll let Mark ask the last question, but I will remind listeners that their tour with Avatar starts in October. And that'll be kick-ass, because Trivium is always kick-ass. And then, Mark, what do you got?
I mean, on that note, to wrap things up here, Avatar, very different band than Trivium. Visually, the sound is different. Do you anticipate that you're going to... The fan base is shared between you two guys? I mean, or you're going to win over some of their fans? They're going to win over some of your fans? It seems like an odd match to me.
You know, it's... Always trying to find different things to do.
Odd and not bad.
No, positive, actually.
Yeah. Well, it works. I think
diverse,
it works. Yeah, it works. You know, Avatar plays a lot of the you know, the same festivals and plays in front of the same crowd. So I don't think it's quite... It's like, obviously, it's nice to have both bands that have very different sounds, because, you know, it's very, you know... Instead of having, you know, a bill of every band that sounds like, you know, Trivium clones.
Right.
So it's going to be cool. And so far, it seems like fans have been really receptive, because, you know, the tour doesn't start for a couple months, and, like, the shows have been... Ticket sales, seems like people are pretty excited about it. So a lot of shows that are almost, you know, half sold out a couple months before the tour even starts, which is really good, since people usually kind of, like, wait till... closer to the tour to kind of buy tickets. But seems like for how much, you know, people are buying tickets so far ahead of time, people are excited, and I think it'd be really cool, because Avatar's got a very different sound and show than us. I think there's still enough common ground shared that fans are excited to kind of see the whole bill. And Light the Torch is going to be really cool, because it's their first, you know, full tour since their album came out. So a lot of people will be able to see them for the first time, because their new album's really killer.
Howard Jones.
Yeah. So it's going to be fun. Looking forward to it. We tried to do something with Avatar a couple years ago, but for some reason, timing or scheduling, it didn't work out, because when we did that tour with Sabaton, we were trying to get Avatar on that as well.
And then Avatar were at that Rock and Derby thing I mentioned with you guys earlier.
Yeah, so we were trying to do something... We were trying to do something with them a couple of years ago, and it didn't work out. And then I think it was, you know, our management and their management or something. Someone kind of like sparked up a conversation, and it kind of came back up, and we're like, they really were interested in touring with us and again, or finally. And then, you know, we were like, yeah, I think it'd be really cool. We're, you know, wanted to do a headlining tour. We wanted to find a band that had a strong fan base and a good live draw, and you know, just kind of seemed to be like a good timing and a good match. So I've only seen them briefly at like Rock on the Range, so it'd be kind of fun, you know, seeing a band or having a band on tour that I haven't really gotten to see the full deal yet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think it's great that they're not a Trivium clone, and hopefully the fan base is opened, and to different sounds and looks, for that matter. Yeah. Very different look. Yeah, cool. Thank you, Corey.
Yeah. Thank you, Corey.
Cheers.
Oh,
thanks,
Matt.
Can we get a picture with the rat?
Everything repeats. It's easier to cut us down and point our defeat. It's easy to be right when everything repeats. Dig below the surface, find your insecurities. Tell me, maybe you were right, maybe I was wrong, but I've been silent for far too long. Maybe you were right, maybe I should go, but I've been silent for far too long. What will it take to rip the heart from your hate? What will it take? What will it take to rip the heart from your hate? To rip the heart from your hate. Your distance from reality won't bury or erase it. I tried to do the same, living so complacent, but the problems wouldn't go away, so I turned around to face them. Tell me, maybe you were right, maybe I was wrong, but I've been silent for far too long. Maybe you were right, maybe I should go, but I've been silent for far too long. What will it take to rip the heart from your hate? What will it take? What will it take to rip the heart from your hate?
All right, that was our interview with Corey Bollier from Trivium, and the song you heard coming out of the interview was The Heart From Your Hate. Mitch, I wouldn't be here at Heavy Montreal if it weren't for you, so thanks so much for introducing me to this great festival.
Yeah. And I'm glad you enjoyed it, and of course we want to thank the staff that made it all possible.
Yes.
They make it possible for me to walk around. They flew you in.
Yes.
So a big thank you to Peter and Caroline and JF and all the Heavy Montreal
staff. Lisa Lee.
Yeah. Lisa Lee, Nick and all that. And, you know, one of the great things about this festival is that for them, it's just one of three or four. They after this, they have Oceaga that has about 200,000 people show up. Then they do a whole EDM thing called Il Sonique. It's just, it's Festival City, and of course it's on the back of the Just for Laughs festival. And
don't forget 77 Montreal,
oh, right,
which they
the
flew me
saying.
Up. Before Heavy Montreal, there was another festival called 77 Montreal.
All punk music.
Yeah, and they flew me up for that. And that was so much fun. I wasn't quite as jam-packed with interviews, so I got to really experience and go see a lot of the bands that played, including Suicidal Tendencies, that is, and Sick of It All, and Rise Against, who I don't really know much about, but they were fantastic, and the crowd was going nuts for them.
Weren't they?
And I also conducted an interview with the legendary, I call him a godfather of punk rock, Joe Keithley from DOA. And if you go to my YouTube page, which is youtube.com/talkingmetal, you can see me interview the guy who coined the phrase hardcore. Some would even say the inventor of hardcore, Joe Keithley of the amazing classic band DOA, who put on just an awesome performance here in Montreal at the 77 Montreal
and don't forget
Punk Rock Festival.
Real quick, Dave Lombardo with Suicidal Tendencies.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It's interesting to see sort of the drummer of Slayer, which many people consider him to be the drummer of Slayer.
Oh yeah.
Playing a punk festival.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So that was kind of a cool little thing right there.
And what was that, the second year for the 77 Montreal?
It's the second annual. Heavy Montreal, I think we're on to our 10th year. And so it's Festival City.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting the difference in the crowd between 77 Montreal and Heavy Montreal.
Yeah.
I see some overlap, but definitely a different bunch of people for sure.
Well, it's just funny. From the public perspective, when I come to 77, I'm just a face in the crowd. Nobody knows who the hell I am.
Right, yeah.
And when I come to Heavy Montreal, either a band or a tour manager or even a fan will say, hey aren't
Mitch.
You Mitch LaFon?
Yeah. Right.
And it's just, it's weird because you're sort of like, well, nobody knows me? Like,
yeah.
Okay, I'll just pretend I'm here.
Right on.
You don't get any access to anything.
Right on. Cool. And Mitch, where's the best place people can get in touch with you on social media?
You can always check me out on Twitter at Mitch LaFon, MitchLaFon. But I always just say Google the old Mitch LaFon, and then everything sort of pops up. And I'll answer emails, I'll answer texts, whatever you got.
Cool.
Happy to interact. Happy to, and thank people for checking out the show. And there you go.
Absolutely. A great show. I was on a recent episode, actually. And by the way, we post just about every show that Mitch does on talkingrock.net. So if, it's a great place to go. You can get your Mitch LaFon podcast, Rock Talk with Mitch LaFon, right on my website, talkingrock.net. Also, Talking Metal is posted there. Random YouTube videos are posted there, like the Joe Keithley one that I just mentioned. Everything Mark Striegel is available at talkingrock.net. And again, we all post almost all of Mitch's shows there. So it's a great place to go to get everything Mark Striegel, everything, well, not everything, but most things Mitch LaFon.
Yeah. Once in a while, I'll venture into a softer rock artist like Flock of Seagulls or even Rick Astley. I did this year, right? Never Gonna Give You Up.
I think I posted that episode. I'm not sure.
You might have.
Yeah, yeah.
But that happens, every so often I'll put some of those, which makes sense not to be on Talking Metal. But the other stuff, when I'm talking to either a Def Leppard guy or whatever, you've always been very kind to put it up there. So thank you for that. It helps spread the word.
Cool. And look.
Hey, Brian.
Oh, Brian from Helix, standing right behind Mitch LaFon.
Do you want to do an interview later or now?
I can do something now if you want. There's a guy here supposed to be here from the Metal Voice.
Oh, he's right there. I'll go introduce you.
Okay. Mitch is taking off to escort Brian from Helix to his interview with the Metal Voice. Helix, another band that played here at Heavy Montreal today. They opened the festival. Yeah, they opened. Well, not they almost. They were the first band to play on the main stage on Sunday, July 29th. Helix, a diverse group here at Heavy Montreal this year and every year, really. But great stuff. You got everyone from Helix to Lee Aaron to Demon Hunter to Havoc to Under Oath, who did
to Limp Bizkit.
Limp Bizkit. This should be interesting.
I'll say this, and I don't want to sound like a homer, but that's the good thing about Heavy Montreal is that they bring in some of the greater known Canadian bands.
Yeah,
like a Helix, like a Lee Aaron. They'll bring in Sword, and also who else is a Voivod is going to be here. And then they'll bring in some of the European bands, like Emperor, which you won't see necessarily at Rock on the Range or somewhere in the States.
Yep.
And then, of course, the American bands.
Yeah.
So if you have a choice between something in Albany or something in Vermont or something in whatever, Oregon, you're going to get a lot of American bands. But here you get this sort of weird mixture of stuff that you can't see. So the point that I'm trying to make is that it's unique.
Yeah.
It's exceptionally unique.
I wonder what plays into that, because there's different work visas and stuff that have to be issued for different countries. And I will just kind of, it's a little left field, but British Lions Steve Harris's solo band or side band is doing a few gigs here, and they're not playing in the States from what I can tell.
Not yet, no. From what I understand, they're going to do the Canadian run, and then they're going to head down to South America. That's my understanding. And, you know, a lot of the bands that I talk to, like Uli John Roth and stuff that are European, even yesterday there was this band here playing called Ginger from Ukraine.
Yeah.
And they're
we
just
interviewed
saying,
them.
We can't get into the States. We just can't.
Right.
It takes what used to take 2-3 weeks or 2-3 months is now taking 8-10 months.
Right.
And on top of that, you got to give American Immigration the entire itinerary. So you have to book 100 shows before you get to Immigration.
Right.
But a lot of the promoters don't want to book a show if they don't know you're going to get into it. So it's this weird catch-22 that promoter won't book you if they don't know you can get in, and the U.S. Immigration won't let you get in unless you can prove to them that you've booked shows.
Right.
So, you know?
Unless you're the, you know, Eric Baker at M3 who keeps booking Loudness and they keep having to cancel it.
Having to cancel,
yeah.
But, you know, but you know, the other thing that's unique here is that we have different tastes. You know, we didn't have MTV. We had Much Music. So,
right, yep.
So what people are expecting are very different than what popular radio was playing in the States. And so,
you know, we'll wrap this up soon. But in Canada, radio stations, and you mentioned Much Music, which was or maybe is the equivalent of what MTV used to be in the States.
Well, sort of. I mean, we played videos.
Right.
And we didn't get into game shows and stuff like that.
Right. So they were required to play a certain amount of Canadian artists.
Yeah.
What is it, 50% or?
Well, you know, it really depends on the stations, but mostly it's about 70%.
Wow.
And that's called CanCon, which means Canadian content. So they call them the CanCon rules. And those rules are very strange because it's based on a star system.
Yeah.
So at one time, Bryan Adams was declared un-Canadian because he had a song that was written by Rod Stewart or something like that.
Right.
And it was recorded in London.
The
only thing, he was a Canadian artist, so he got 1 star out of 4. And so they said, no, that's not a Canadian content song. Oop. And you go, well, it should be. He's a Canadian artist, but that's not how it works, you know?
Yep. Yep.
The Canadian content rules are strange, and you could also have an American artist be declared Canadian if it was recorded in Montreal, written
that's
by Celine Dion.
I mean, remember like Whitesnake and all those, Aerosmith would all record their albums in Vancouver. You know?
Right, and that counted as a star.
Yeah, I wonder if that played into it. You know?
So they were more Canadian than, say, Rat, who was recording in L.A.
Wow, very interesting.
Which is, it's a strange rule, but listen, looking back at it now, you still have Bryan Adams around that probably wouldn't have prospered without those rules.
Yeah.
Celine Dion wouldn't have prospered without those rules. Honeymoon Suite, Helix, all those bands wouldn't have prospered without those rules. So you're like, on one end, I like competition and I just want you to be the better band. But on the other end, I personally wouldn't want to live in a world without Honeymoon Suite and Bryan Adams. So
yeah, right on. Cool. Well, to take us out, we're going to, I think, play some Limp Bizkit for the first time on the podcast, the band that's closing Heavy Montreal.
Is this where you jumped the shark?
Yeah, possibly. Possibly. But here we go. A little Limp Bizkit. Band, I saw Limp Bizkit, I'm trying to think. I guess it was just once back on, I believe they played Ozfest, and I remember they had a big toilet on stage. It was the same Ozfest that Soulfly played. Which was the first time I saw Max Cavalera. But anyways, here we go. A little Limp Bizkit to take us out on this episode of Talking Metal. Everything is fucked. Everybody sucks. You don't really know why, but you want to justify ripping someone's head off. No human contact. And if you interact, your life is on contract. Your best bet is to stay away, motherfucker. It's just one of those days. It's all about the he says, she says bullshit. Just one of those days, feeling like a freight train. First one to complain, leaves with the bloodstain. Damn right, I'm a maniac. You better watch your back, cause I'm fucking up your program. And if you're stuck up, you just locked up. Next in line to get fucked up. Your best bet is to stay away, motherfucker. It's just one of those days. It's all about the he said, she said bullshit. I think you better quit, let shit slip, or you can leave it with a fat lip. I think you better.
Why?
Why?
If you
Why?
Have T-Mobile 5G home internet, you might be hearing this
Why?
A lot.
Why?
Every time your internet slows down during the busiest hours.
Why?
Why?
Because your network gives priority to cell phone users.
Why?
Good question. Why not switch to Cox Internet with 2x faster download speeds than T-Mobile 5G home internet during peak hours?
Okay.
Stop the whys and visit cox.com/5G home for details. T-Mobile prioritizes certain T-Mobile phone users over home internet users during times of congestion.